Walking down a bustling street in downtown Erbil, Shawan Rashid still seems a little dazed by his move to northern Iraq. Just a few months ago, Rashid, who was 24, was helping organize demonstrations in Syria.
How is life here different for you than in Syria?
It's safe. In my hometown of Kamishli, there is no security, and it's not safe. It's really beautiful. Erbil is beautiful, but it's not nice to be away from family.
And how many family members did you leave behind?
Seven.
You know, is there a coffee shop or something?
No, there's no coffee shop there, but there's on the street.
The Syrian dictatorship of Bashar al-Assad closely monitors social networking websites, mobile phones, and text messages. But activists living near the northern border with Turkey can put Turkish SIM cards into their mobile phones as a way to escape surveillance. Rashid fled Syria, fearing arrest for some unusual activity.
I brought SIM cards from Turkey to Syria. After the demonstration started, I was accused by the government of distributing the SIM cards, which is illegal. So I left the country.
Syria is not experiencing a Facebook revolution. It's more of a mobile phone uprising. Sitting down for coffee, Rashid explains that he and most other Kurds had opposed Assad for many years. Kurds make up about 8% of Syria's population of 22 million.
Even before the uprising started, the Assad government was a dictatorship. He's a fascist. He monopolized the economy. Poverty was widespread. He repressed the Syrian people in general, and Kurds in particular. Kurds in Syria faced even more repression than others. In 1962, the government refused to give citizenship to thousands of Kurds, so they couldn't get state medical care, couldn't get government jobs or passports.
Rashid, like many other Syrians, watched the Tunisian and Egyptian uprisings with great anticipation. In Syria, demonstrations started in Damascus in March, caught fire in the southern town of Daraa, and ultimately spread to the northern Kurdish cities as well. Rashid immediately joined the protests.
I was not afraid. There were two choices. One, escape and survive. The second is to die. If I survive, I will have my freedom.
Hello?
I put through a Skype call to a hidden location in Syria. Shawan Yosef, a leader of the Sawa Youth Coalition, is a Syrian Kurd activist. He explains their demands.
If we build a new system which will unite all Syrians, regardless of their political views or religion, we might ask for the Kurds to rule their own area. But at this stage, we are asking for a recognition of Kurds with the same rights as citizens, with full rights within a new constitution.
I asked Yusuf how protesters organize, given fierce repression by the Syrian government.
We do it three ways. Activists visit shops or public places and say out loud, "We heard the youth will come out for a demonstration." They don't say, "Come to the demonstration." They talk indirectly. The second method is to use mobile phones, sending text messages and talking about demonstrations on the phone. The third method is publishing statements on the internet. The messages contain the date and time of the demonstrations. We use websites and emails. Sometimes we call Kurdish TV in northern Iraq, and they air a story with the information.
Back on the busy Erbil street, Shawan Rashid says he can't wait to go home to a new and democratic Syria. Meanwhile, he survives with support from the Kurdish activist community and by working odd jobs.
I have different jobs here. When I came here, I worked with organizations. Sometimes I work in restaurants or as a night watchman. I don't have a stable job, but for now, I can only dream of going home.
Rashid is not sure how he will survive, but he's quite sure that the Assad government will not.
Negotiations with Assad are impossible. This regime will not leave power voluntarily. We will have to make sure he leaves.
Reese Ehrlich, Deutsche Welle Radio, Erbil, Kurdish Region, Iraq.